evening, everyone. Welcome to the Arroyo Grande City Council meeting for Tuesday, November 22nd. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Costello.
Here.
Councilmember Guthrie.
Here. Reason we have so many things to be thankful for: the opportunity of living in this community, this part of your creation with the ocean and the mountains and the things that so many people come on their vacation to see. And we have the privilege and opportunity of being here. We pray for the council tonight as they deliberate on the many different issues of the city. We ask your blessing upon them for the time and the effort that they serve. This we ask in our Savior's name. Amen.
Okay, moving on to item five, special presentations. I think it's probably obvious that we have one this evening. And it is indeed a very special presentation. I'm going to turn it over to our police chief, Steve Annibale, who will conduct the presentation for us.
Thank you very much. And as I've said before, one of the best jobs the chief of police has is either promoting people in their careers or hiring new officers as they start their careers, and then the latter is what we have tonight. And so I'd like to ask Tirza Foster if she could come up, please. If you could just go over there, that's perfect. I'm going to stay over here by the mic so that you can all hear. I'd like to tell you a little bit about Tirza, and I think most of you know about Tirza. But Tirza is a lifelong resident of the city of Arroyo Grande, attending local schools and graduating from Arroyo Grande High School. She attended Allen Hancock College, receiving an Associate Arts degree in Transfer Studies. On November 19, 2004, Tirza was hired by the city of Arroyo Grande as a police cadet. And we've all known her for the past number of years as our police cadet. Among her numerous duties are live scans, fingerprinting, delivering council packets that I know the council have all received, court documents, and other duties around the station. It included vehicle and building maintenance and providing assistance to our records section also. In addition to that, as I said, Tirza graduated Allen Hancock with her degree, but she also graduated from the Allen Hancock Law Enforcement Training Academy in 2009. While attending the police academy, she continued to work on a limited part-time basis as a police cadet, and she successfully balanced that difficult and challenging demands of the academy along with her responsibilities as a cadet. And Tirza did such a great job as a cadet that she was selected in 2010 as the Police Department Employee of the Year, which doesn't always happen with cadets. But I think tonight is probably a bigger moment than the Police Department Employee of the Year, and tonight we'd like to swear her in as a new police officer. So if I could ask the city clerk, Kelly Wetmore, to come forward.
It's good luck.
You were
Good job.
I just wanted to ask Tirza if she's going to keep the light blue shirt as a souvenir. Okay, we're going to get back to the agenda, and we are now on item 6, agenda review. Move that all ordinances presented for introduction or adoption be read in title only and all further readings be waived.
So move.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. Item 7 is community comments and suggestions. This is an opportunity for members of the public to come forth on any item that is not on this evening's agenda. The Brown Act restricts the council from taking any action on items not posted on the agenda. We would ask that you keep your comments brief, 3 minutes or less. Please address the council as a whole. Once again, items not on this evening's agenda. Anyone? Steve, good
evening. Ross, 211 Garden Street. I am the City of Arroyo Grande's member of the CTAC, which is the Citizens Transportation Advisory Commission. We had our last meeting Wednesday last week, and there were some new things that were introduced at that meeting that had not been previously on the agenda, and as such might be news to the council and the mayor and staff. They may already know of this. In that case, it would be a way of getting the people at large some information. We were discussing the RTIP, which is a funding method that is used for putting jobs in order in the county, highway jobs. And we were told that the Caltrans, who controls basically the money that we get from the state, had a new project that they were going to suggest that they were going to fund, in that being phase 4 of the Highway 46 East widening. This was unexpected. It is a segment by Whitley. The opportunity is to partner and leverage the state ITIP money funds up to $55 million on an $80 million project. That's a pretty significant project. The current RTIP projects that were on the table to be funded were a project LOVR interchange, Price Canyon Road widening, number 2, 46-101 improvements at Vine Street realignment was number 3, City of Arroyo Grande 101 Briscoe Grand US 101 intersection was the 4th one on the list. Those were all going to be presented and were basically had funding in place for our share of the monies that we would have to put up in order to receive the project. At this last minute, the East 46 widening came in, and because of that, SLOCOG felt that potentially there would be not be able to fund all five projects or convince Caltrans to fund all five projects. So what they did is they decided to take that East 46 widening project and put it as the 5th, but their comment, Mr. DiCarlo was presenting the subject, their comment was that they wanted to do that because they felt it was the most likely candidate to be included given the size of the project and the amount of money, if they had taken one of the other four projects that had lined up in front of it, which are significantly smaller projects monetarily, that one of those would have been almost automatically bumped. So what they're trying to do is trying to convince Caltrans to fund all five projects in the 2012 RTIP. Mr. DiCarlo said, I spoke to him after the meeting, he said that if Caltrans came back and said no, that one was going to have to be taken off, he said that that would most likely be the Briscoe interchange project. The good news in that is if it was pulled off of the 2012 RTIP funding, it would be first in line on the 2014, which would almost guarantee that it would be in line for funding. If, in fact, it does get bumped to 2014, it does create, to get all of these projects down in the 2012 RTIP. But I just thought it was important for the council and the staff and to know that that had changed slightly from the previous RTIP that, of just a few weeks ago. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Anyone else? Okay, seeing no one, we will close community comments and suggestions, and we'll move to item 8 on the agenda. This is our consent agenda. This is normally a group of items that the council approves in one action or one motion, unless there is an item on the consent agenda that a member of the council would like to pull for further discussion, clarification, or an independent action. This is also an opportunity for members of the public to come forward and comment on any of the items on consent. If you're following along on this evening's agenda, we'll be addressing consent items 8A through 8I. So once again, I'd like to invite any member of the public who would like to come forward and comment on any of the items on the consent agenda. Anyone?
Steve Ross, 211 Garden Street. On item 8D, I thought it'd be nice if maybe the council could pull that item and just as an information, let us know who has been selected for that commission. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? All right, seeing no one else, we'll close public comment on the consent agenda. We'll bring this back to the council. We will make that clarification or that announcement once again. This was an item that actually came to us at the last meeting, and we did discuss, I think, the makeup of it, did we not? So, we'll go ahead and make that announcement. So we'll pull 8D and make that announcement. Any other items?
I was going to pull 8D anyway, so I have something to ask about.
Okay. Any other items? All right, I'll entertain a motion to approve consent items 8A through 8I with the exception of 8D.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none. Anything to read in there this evening?
Yes, indeed, Mr. Mayor. Item 8G is an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Rio Grande amending Chapter 16.08 of Title 16 of the Municipal Code to incorporate the public art guidelines by reference. And item 8H is an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Rio Grande adding Chapter 9.32 to Title 9 of the Rio Grande Municipal Code regarding mobile vending.
Okay, thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Ray?
Yes.
And Mayor Farrar?
Yes. Okay, 8D, you were going to pull it, Mayor Pro Tem. I was going to have Steve make the clarification or the announcement in terms of the makeup of the committee. Did you want to do that, Steve?
Mr. Council, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, at the prior meeting, the council had agreed on the intent of the committee and the general makeup as far as what positions would be represented, and asked staff to go back and meet with a subcommittee of the council representatives that would serve on the committee to develop a list of specific recommended names for your consideration before we proceed. And those include, first of all, Mayor Tony Ferrara, who will also serve as the chair of the committee. One council member who was selected to be Council Member Guthrie. The city manager, myself, Community Development Director Teresa McClish. One representative from the Planning Commission, which was appointed to be Lisa Spiro. One representative from the Architectural Review Committee, Tom Goss. Two representatives from the Chamber of Commerce, Judith Bean, who is the executive director, and Lenny Jones, who is serves on the Legislative Committee and I believe on the Board of Directors also. They asked for an alternate, which would be Jared Rydell from the Walmart General Manager. There was one business owner representative, which would was selected to be Kari Ziegler from Gathers in the village. One commercial property owner and manager, and we have the subcommittee recommended that be expanded to include, as we say there, not only just a property owner, but a property a commercial real estate manager. Because what we're really looking for there is somebody that deals with leases on a regular basis.
Thanks. Mayor Pro Tem, you had some issues.
Yeah, it's not really issues, but some clarifications. It says in the staff report that that our process is going to get proposed by this committee and will come forward potentially in the spring of 2012. I had a meeting today with someone who was representing a few business owners in the community here, and their concern was that that I'm going to try and phrase this properly, that we bring in business owners that aren't just on this committee, but that we include in some sort of workshop format or some sort of process to get more of the groups in here, specifically speaking some of the higher sales tax generating businesses that may or may not be a part of the chamber. So I just wanted to suggest as we go forward that as this subcommittee decides what this process is going to look like, that we make sure that we have something like what we did with development code overlay type stuff, where we had the workshops where all of us can attend, where we have people from the community from all walks have the opportunity to become part of this process.
Yeah, and that's been discussed in some of the preliminary meetings on where and when we appropriate to bring different key experts in beyond just the group, so that has been discussed.
Excellent. Well, then, with that, Mr. Mayor, I will move that we accept the appointments to the Economic Development Update Committee.
Okay, very good. We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Discussion. Hearing none. Roll call.
Mayor Pro Tem Ray.
Yes.
Councilmember Brown.
Yes.
Councilmember Costello.
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie.
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara.
Yes. All right, moving right along. Item 9 in public hearings, we have none this evening. Item 10 is continued business, we have none. Item 11 is new business. 11A is consideration of the annual local sales tax appropriation and allocation report and five-year plan. And Steve, are you going to be doing that this evening?
Yes, sir. Mr. Mayor and members of the council, as you know, the city's local sales tax measure was approved back in November 2006. It was proposed for the purpose of funding a long list of long-term unfunded needs that had been identified at that time. They fell primarily into four key categories: transportation improvements, infrastructure improvements, public safety enhancements to facilities, staffing and equipment, and city facilities and ADA upgrades. Now, remember that the measure did not legally restrict the funds to these purposes. However, we have worked very hard to try to maintain the original intent of the measure, in the allocations and the expenditures that we have recommended. And I know the City Council has done the same in terms of review and approval of those items. The local sales tax measure also included a requirement that the city distribute to every household an annual report on revenues and expenditures from the measure in order to increase transparency and accountability. So we are in the process this evening of bringing to you for your review and consideration the annual report for this year. We also use this as an opportunity to update our recommendations on the appropriations because we now have time to review the updated revenue projections. And then we also have specific carryover amounts, both for projects as well as carryover unexpended funds from the prior year. And so it gives us a better picture where we're at this year. So we do some amendments to this year's program to ensure that it reflects our priorities as best as possible. To give you an overview of our recommendations, the beginning fund balance for just this fund, local sales tax measure fund, is slightly over $2 million. Projected revenues for fiscal year 11-12 is $1,750,000. Based on the recommendations that we are presenting to you this evening, the proposed expenditures are a little over $3.5 million, and this would leave a projected ending fund balance, year-ending fund balance, of about $328,000, and that represents about 19% of the annual revenue amount. So we're remaining fairly consistent in terms of our unappropriated fund balance. Please note we compare that. Normally we would compare response to our RDA litigation, which should come out in January. If that is unsuccessful, then some of these recommendations may need to be reconsidered as part of contingency planning at that time. So what I'd like to do is just quickly walk through with you the different changes we're recommending from the approved budget. So these are just changes from the budget that you have approved in July. So the first is a $25,000 increase for the fire JPA. We believe this expenditure is eligible with these funds because it does represent an enhancement in fire resources and fire services. And at the same time, it will help reduce the shortfall in the general fund. When the JPA was established, there was some increased expenses at the time, even though long-term costs will be substantially reduced. But as I say, it did enhance services because we were taking on resources and personnel from two additional stations all under one command. So that represents a very significant service level increase for us. The most significant recommendation this evening is to increase funding for the pavement management program, which is probably our top priority within this overall effort, by $275,000. Now, we haven't determined specifically where those expenditures would be targeted yet, but we have a number of needs within that program, so it would be nice to have some funding available as we go through the planning for these different projects. Most desirably, we would like to use the money to speed up the schedule for both Fair Oaks and Elm Street resurfacing because that's consistent with prior direction we received from the council. Other things that it could be available for, though, we have recently done some repairs to James Way. I think when we did the prior pavement management program, we had indicated whatever money we had left at that time we were going to try to devote to James Way. We got the worst damage repaired. There's still a few spots that we'd like to go in and do cutouts and really take care of that again. The Greenwood track is budgeted for a full resurfacing project. Some of the funds are budgeted this year. Others are at the beginning of the next fiscal year. We're concerned that the amount we have budgeted may not be sufficient based upon the level of the work that is included in that project. Once we get into designing the project, we'll have better estimates, and at that time we'll know. But this could make some money available in case those budgeted amounts are low. The El Camino Real project, we don't have any cost overrun problems at this particular time. But just to remind you, that is a substantially large project. It's a very tight budget. So having some money available in case we start to experience significant cost overruns would be helpful to have that as a tool to address that at that time. And then lastly, next year's pavement management program, we've started to cost out and analyze the list of streets that are included in that program, and we think the budget preliminarily looks like it's a little over what we have budgeted, so we may want to recommend carrying over some of these funds to fully fund that next year program. So there's a lot of options, but certainly having additional $275,000 in that program is going to help us resolve at least some of these issues that we have identified. Any questions on that before I go forward? The street tree trimming program has been a goal of the local sales tax measure for some time. We're just beginning to implement it. We have proposed an annual allocation of $50,000. This year, we also had $25,000 budgeted for our share of a grant to do a citywide tree inventory. It's going to take about half the year to get the tree inventory done, so we felt that we only needed about $25,000 to complete the tree trimming work. Tree inventory really needs to be done first. And so by reducing $25,000, it still maintains $50,000 for the overall program. And in the future, then we'd be funding $50,000 just for tree trimming.
Kind of get to some of those hot spots and still do the tree inventory?
Yeah, and that tree inventory will provide us data that'll help with that, because that'll provide data each year on which trees fall into what categories and which have problems. We do have an annual program where we go out and site those properties that have trees where the branches are below that level. Recently, as you mentioned, the refuse company became more involved because they increased the height of their trucks, and so we had to actually revise our requirements. So they go out first at this point and identify sites that are problems for them. They give that list to us, and then we go out and cite notices and work with the neighbors and try to get it all cleaned up, which seemed to be successful. It took a little bit, but we have worked this year, but I think we were ultimately successful in addressing all those. This is a recommendation to eliminate the Villa La Bronca Basin Improvement Project. This would eliminate $150,000 from the budget. There was some improvements planned to install a plate within the basin that would restrict drainage, but in-house staff actually installed some other equipment that performed a similar function. They feel it's working properly now, and as a result, their recommendation has been that this project is no longer necessary. Newsom Springs drainage project, we're recommending an increase to the budget by $70,000 while also decreasing the budget for drainage and creek protection by $30,000. So what we're saying is we've already identified some of the needs for that money, and so we're shifting it over into the specific Newsom Springs drainage project. This funding is needed for a lot of the work that's been involved in the construction of the headwall. As part of that drainage project. It also involves a number of cost increases we experienced due to the terms that we negotiated with the Dixon Ranch on the design of the head wall, as well as, if you recall, back when we reconsidered and reapproved with some changes the Cherry Creek project that included provisions related to cost sharing and the construction of the Newsom Springs project. So all those together result in these increased costs that we need to budget for at this time.
Can I ask a question about that real quick?
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that because of the concessions that were made on Cherry Creek, the city has a larger cost to the head wall?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, could you repeat the last part of the question?
Based on concessions for Cherry Creek that were given, did that increase the cost of the city for the head wall?
No, there was some with Cherry Creek at the time. We renegotiated the amount that the city had to pay for their share of the improvements. Keep in mind that it was a very unique arrangement because they were building a drainage system for a very finite project to accommodate their drainage needs. At the same time, they worked with us on this kind of joint regional project that was going to take drainage from Newsom Springs and really serve a regional drainage need. So we had a negotiation with them in terms of what costs should the city pay into the portion for the regional drainage benefit and what portion should the project pay. And so when that plan was redesigned, there were some changes and some additional analysis, and so our portion increased a little bit on top of that. The increased cost to when we worked with that developer, there were some suggestions of how to make the project better, which we accepted, but that resulted in some additional engineering work we had to do. And then the last change was when we entered into the easement with the Dixon Ranch, there was some request from them on the design of the head wall that we instituted, but there was some cost involved in that too. So all told kind of adds up to what we're dealing with now. They were all things we agreed to and agreed with and felt were good things, but now we're having to go back and pay for them.
Thank you.
We are proposing to allocate $100,000 for the Car Corral improvement project. Car Corral is the parking lot right down the street here. We recently did it away for now, and so with some available local sales tax money that is now available, we'd like to allocate that so we can get this project done this year, probably issue bids again in January. And it's project that many businesses in the village have brought up and is a high priority for them and be a good project to get done for the city. Elm Street Community Center roof, I think we previously budgeted about $8,000. We did some very informal bids and found that cost is way on the budgeted cost is way over the actual cost, and so we're recommending to increase that by $10,000 so we can finish off that improvement. We are recommending to allocate $25,000 to begin update of the city's traffic model. That is an important and needed to update our general plan, which is underway, as well as to have data in place that will allow us to study and develop recommendations for other transportation improvements. The police firing range, we're recommending budgeting $20,000. If you'll recall, this is actually part of a five-year plan to fund improvements that have been identified and some cleanup activities over a five-year funding period. Over the next 4 years, we would have the funding to complete the project. So it was actually supposed to be in the CIP this year, but it was mistakenly left out, and so we're just proposing to put that back into the CIP. And then lastly, we're recommending an increase of $2,500 for capital project planning studies. This revenue is used to provide various engineering and consultant services on projects needs that come up throughout the year where we need to do some initial analysis before we can actually identify a project scope so that we can come forward and propose a project. I'll give you a good example right now. It's come to us that we need to do some soils analysis adjacent to the swinging bridge to determine whether there's going to be some additional work needed to better lock that one side of the bridge into the hillside. There's no issues right now, but looking down the road, we think there may need to be a project here in the next few years to restabilize one side of that slope, because over time it could just gradually become more unstable. So now's the time to probably take care of that so we won't have any problems in the future. But a soil study is probably going to run us about $4,000, but at least we'll have that information, and then we can kind of do a better job of preparing what a project might be and then bring that forward the following year. We've also included 5-year projections, which we normally do, to ask you to sign off on those or to approve those so you can see what's coming up and ensure that our long-term needs are being met in terms of how we're planning these projects. Our conservative estimate of annual revenues is only about 1.5% increases in revenues each year for that 5-year plan. It includes funding for the Briscoe Interchange project based upon the funding plan that was presented to SLOCOG to fully fund that project. It increases funding for the pavement management program in each year of the future years, largely to try to make up for some of the funding we lost due to the results of the 2010 census, which we thought was going to define us as a urban area, which would bring in additional funding. It looks at this point that that's not going to happen, and so we're not going to get the funding we thought of, so now we're going to go back and have to backfill some of it with local sales tax revenues to keep that whole. And then lastly, we're increasing funding for the police station project to hopefully better position ourselves to be able to fund a project in the near future. We think it's still probably going to be underfunded based upon the preliminary costs we're getting for some of the studies we're working on, so we'll likely still have to go back and look at potential other resources such as bond measures or police consolidation, but that's all still preliminary. But at least within this budgeting period and the 5-year plan, we've programmed in more money for that project since that's a priority project. And so lastly, just to summarize our recommendations for this evening, is to approve the annual local sales tax appropriations and allocation report, approve the proposed revised local sales tax appropriations for fiscal year 2011 and 12, and approve the proposed...
The last item under public safety, narcotics task force. Just a heads up on that. I was attending a League of Cities meeting last week, and a board meeting, and the announcement was made. In fact, one of the mayors who was sitting next to me got an email from his police chief indicating that federal funding for local narcotics task force had been pulled and is not likely to be restored. And so they were looking at the possibility of their county task force being disbanded. I checked with the chief before this meeting and asked him what the status was here, and it's too early to tell, but right now our allocation remains the same as indicated here, which is $24,000. But you might hear it out and about that the feds have pulled the money. Okay. This is not a public hearing, but once again, it's an important item. If there's anyone in the audience who would like to come forward and comment on 11A, this would be an opportunity. Anyone? Okay, seeing no one, we will bring this back to the council. We'll start with Councilmember Costello.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, I support everything that staff's requesting tonight. I think that we've done an admirable job of managing the sales tax revenue that we've generated. We've stayed within the guidelines that people set, even though they weren't mandated, that we had to. And I think that it's been a prudent use of the public's dollars to do a lot of good things. And I'll support what you're asking for tonight.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Guthrie.
Yeah, I too will support it. I don't really have much to add to that. I think that again, over the years, we have certainly followed the public's mandate here and continue to spend these on capital projects as we promised.
Yeah. Okay. Councilmember Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't have anything to add. I think it's been well spoken. I think you do a good job of keeping track of the spending, and for the public, that's probably the most important thing, so I appreciate that.
Okay, thank you. Mayor Pro Tem.
I wanted to add just a little bit to that. I hope that if you're still watching this meeting, you're probably the person who's going to read the mailer that's going to go home, but the mailer that you all will be receiving is quite detailed about what's going to come about, and so I encourage everyone to take a look at that. It's not just something to be round-filed because it came in the junk mail. I also wanted to just commend the city, and specifically Mr. Adams in spearheading, you know, making sure that we keep to what the citizens have asked, and something that we've dealt with at League of Cities is encouraging the state to be transparent with its spending, and it's not being. And we're being more than transparent. We're holding ourselves to a standard that's not even legally required, and then we're spending some money to send it home and prove it. So this is what transparency looks like. And so not only will I wholeheartedly back this tonight, but I hope that the community recognizes that we're holding ourselves to a much higher standard than even the state is holding. Thank you.
Okay. Good comments, and I'll just amplify on what the Mayor Pro Tem indicated a second ago. I think it's a little... It's in addition to transparency, it's something I think is just as important, and that's accountability. And this... This was, in fact, our mechanism, if you will, or our strategy to ensure that we were accountable to the public for the way that we spent the sales tax money, and one of the reasons why we set it up in a separate fund to track it. So another good report, Steve, very comprehensive. And, you know, I think, you know, some folks may round file it, but I get a lot of feedback from the community on this report, and they're very appreciative for the opportunity to see where that sales tax money is going. So, all right, and I can support that as well. So I'll entertain a motion at this time on 11.
Mr. Mayor, I'd move we approve the proposed annual local sales tax appropriations and allocation report. And then we approve the proposed revised local sales tax appropriations for fiscal year 2011-2012, and also approve the proposed updated local sales tax five-year plan.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Ray?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
And Councilmember Brown?
Yes.
Mayor Farrar?
Yes. Okay, that takes us to item 12, City Council Reports, and I'm first. And... I think what I'd like to do is sort of combine 1 and 3, and earlier during public comment, you heard Steve Ross give sort of a background on projects that have come to the CTAC, right, Caltrans, for a period of time. And so he still knows people at Caltrans headquarters, and we're hopeful, and he's made a commitment to sit down with them on the whole issue of funding and the 46 project versus ours, and to see if there's a happy medium here. The thinking is that since that project did come in late, and since the COG is a little bit short-funded right now, the thinking is that that we could in fact borrow from the next STIP cycle, and if we're able to do that, then that money would become available much sooner than if we had to wait on it. And then in terms of who might have successful access to that additional money, it's very clear to us, based on the posture of the California Transportation Commission as well as Caltrans, that 46 is a very, very high priority, regional priority statewide. They stand a much better chance of qualifying for an advance on STIP money than our Briscoe project would. And that's one of the reasons why we believe that our project should remain in the priority order that Steve mentioned during his public comment and let 46 come in at the end, since that's the way it was presented. This was a last-minute project. So I personally believe that it would be grossly unfair to adjust a priority list with a project that came in at the last minute. So anyway, I really do believe that they would qualify much easier for advanced funding than we would. So we're going to keep our fingers crossed on that one. South County Sanitation District, we're going to have kind of a split report on this. And, Jim, you can either do your piece now, or do you want to wait for your reports? Or
I'll do my piece with my other reports.
Okay. And the reason why I'm deferring to Councilmember Guthrie is because, as I indicated, I was at a League of Cities board meeting and unable to attend the Sanitation District, the last meeting. I did, however, attend the meeting earlier in the month, and I didn't have an opportunity to share this with the council, but I would like to do it now. If you recall back as we were discussing some of the findings of the grand jury, one of the recommendations that the grand jury made at the Sanitation District was that we have a focused internal control audit conducted by the county auditor. That audit was concluded, and it was a very cooperative experience. The county auditor, Jerry Siebeck, assigned staff to come in and literally do a top-to-bottom audit of our financial controls. And there are two findings that came out of that, and I'd like to just read them to you. And I have the full report as well as our response, and I didn't get over across the street in time to make copies. But if you'd like a copy, I'll be happy to have it put in your mailbox. But I want to read the two findings that came out of the audit. The first was, and this is a quote, we assess the district's internal financial controls, and in our opinion, there are reasonable controls in place and operating adequately to mitigate the perceived conflict of interest. The second finding is, we concluded that the district has a clear and well-understood organizational structure. Accounting and purchasing policies were followed regularly, and staff members were aware of the district's code of conduct policy. So those are the two primary findings that I think are important. And we've sent a copy of this to the new grand jury and the new foreperson at the grand jury. So if you would like, I'll be happy to have a copy of this. We'll put it in your mailbox. That'd be okay. Sorry for not having it copied sooner. Five Cities Diversity Coalition, and Councilmember Guthrie will finish the report. There are some budget items that were on the last agenda and a couple of other things as well that he wants to talk about. Five Cities Diversity Coalition, we did have a recent meeting, and we began to assign people, volunteers, to fill some of the positions that were in our startup plan. So that's going very well. We found a chair for the Diversity Coalition. It's Adam Hill, Supervisor Adam Hill, and who volunteered with a little bit of persuading. And so we felt that, obviously, even though we've sort of created the momentum for the coalition in several different ways, and developed a startup plan, that this is not just...
I was supposed to be his alternate at the Zone 3 meeting last week and absolutely forgot about it. So I get to eat that crow while I'm sitting here. So I apologize for that. And apparently, but apparently they did, I did get an email, or excuse me, a text during the meeting. They did have their quorum, so it's okay. So for next time, I'm sure that Joe will be able to report out on that. So I apologize to all of you for that. And that's it.
Okay, thank you very much. Councilmember Costello.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Zone 3, we already mentioned. I was also out of town and unable to attend the APCD meeting. My alternate, Councilmember Guthrie, did. I'll let him report on that when he gets to his. Five City Fire Authority, we met this afternoon, as a matter of fact, and it's my pleasure to announce that we interviewed the last two applicants for the new chief position and reached a unanimous decision and have tentatively and conditionally offered the position to Joel, I think it's Aranez, I believe is the correct pronunciation, an excellent candidate coming our way of Fresno, who will be a good leader for the organization, and we look forward to working with him for the next several years. And I think that covers my report.
Okay, very good. Then we will go to Councilmember Guthrie, who's pitch hitting for a couple of us here.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, I'll go through my committee since I was unable to attend any of them.
You're too busy attending all the rest of ours.
Right.
Okay. Well, I don't feel sorry for you then.
Yeah. Well, actually, South County Area Transit did not meet. I was unable to attend the Community Action Partnership meeting this month. But I will, when I get the minutes, I will give a report on that. I was unable to attend the Homeless Services Coordinating Committee because it did end up conflicting with the Air Pollution Control District meeting, which I'll go into in a minute. So I did attend, I'll start with the San Jose District, Sanitary District meeting that I attended for the mayor. Just two items from that. We did vote to reallocate some funding there based on a previously approved quarterly adjustments, totaling about $200,000. They have made the final payment on the centrifuge, $2.3 million project, major improvement out there, one of many improvements that's been taking place, but it is the closing the loop on a really important project. And I don't know if the mayor's ever mentioned this before, but one of the projects that they've been working on is working on their chlorinator program, and they found a relatively inexpensive metering device that actually has cut their chlorine use in half, saves them nearly $500 a day.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And also means that 500 pounds of chlorine are not going into the ocean. So one of the major improvements in their operation that they have worked out internally. I'm also happy to report they have no violations, at least during the 2 weeks that I'm reporting on. But they said they have recovered completely from all of the summer issues and are reviewing the possibility. They stopped taking brine deliveries because they stopped initially because of the flood issues out there and some exposed wires that were there. But actually, they are now having to go back with the regional water quality control and review their processes there, but then have actually a very big brine delivery project in place. So there's a lot of good things going on at the Sand District. I'll also add that the new reporting that they do for Wallace Group is very thorough and is very easy to review. I found that to be a great addition. Moving on to APCD, I want to thank Joe for dropping me into the middle of the fugitive dust rule. And one of the more controversial decisions, I will say this was the staff report just for this one deal, and I'll say the staff did an absolutely great job of dealing with a lot of really contentious issues and really answered all of the questions that really need to be answered. This is one of the best staff reports I've ever read. So at that point, I did vote with the majority. I think it was 7-4 with one abstention to go ahead and implement the rule, as had been a direction of that commission in the past. And so they're moving forward to work with. And it was clear from the meeting that State Parks is prepared to work with the APCD to make this work out, to reduce the fugitive dust emissions in Napomo. As I say, for a very controversial decision. Actually, this became a very straightforward decision, I felt, in the end. And that concludes my reports.
I had a quick question on that, the rule, and I think for those of you who aren't aware of what the subject is, it's the Oceano Dunes report, and I'm assuming that's what the controversy was. And I understand that Council Member Waggy was there from Pismo Beach.
That he measured way outside on the beach were, of course, much higher than the measurements that they were using that were farther away from the beach and over extensive terrain. Actually did very thorough analysis of that. The issue was also dealt with there was another answer from, I'm trying to remember the name of the group, but one of the groups that did the study also answered that question as well. So I think those are legitimate concerns, but they don't really change the ultimate conclusion or direction of the study. That they may ultimately change the total impact, or however you want to put it, the total mitigation that the dunes that the SVRA represents, that the vehicle riding area represents, but it doesn't change the fundamental conclusion that in fact the SVRA is a major contributor to the fugitive dust in Napomo.
Well, it's interesting reading, and I don't know to what degree it's sort of a fait accompli now, but I don't know to what degree you might be interested in this, but it's a fairly comprehensive
it's in
report
the
study. If it's in there. But the rest of you, if you would be interested in taking a look at the work that he did, I sort of indicated to Mayor Higginbotham that I would make it available to whoever on the council would like to take a look at it. So I'll leave it with you, Kelly. If you want a copy, you can ask Kelly. And I just assume not, kill any more trees than we have to. And this is single-sided, so if we wanted to make it double-sided, it would be half as big. But if you're interested, let Kelly know, and we'll have it available. Okay. Councilmember Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. IWMA hasn't met, and I don't have anything germane regarding RAC to report.
Okay, very good. We'll move to item 13, City Council Member items. There are none listed. Item 14, City Manager items. Anything this evening, Steve?
No.
Item 15, Council Communication. Any announcements, correspondence, anything? Well, I have two that I need to get some feedback from members of the council. The first is our Christmas parade, which is coming up on the 27th, right? Mm-hmm. Sunday, the 27th. And I think most of you, with the exception of Council Member Brown, know the drill. And now you will know the drill. The council typically rides on the hay wagon. And that hay wagon will be over in its usual spot in front of the barn over in Heritage Square. Mm-hmm. And we'll probably be over there around 3 o'clock, I think. And I will have the decorations and the lights, and we have a generator on the way, so could use some help decorating that float. And then we have a driver, and it's not me. And again, we'll have the tractor that pulls that, and he'll position us over to Bank of America. But it'd be nice if you could help us decorate. And then I don't know if Kitty's out this week, and I don't know if she or Kendra got a hold of you, but I asked them to check to see on the Grover Christmas Parade with each of you, and I believe, Steve, I think that's Saturday. Is it December 3rd? Mm-hmm. I think it's a week after ours. And last year we weren't in it because we really, I think I was the only one that was available. And this is something that the Pismo Council, I think all of their council, rides in the Grover Parade. So I thought we would bring it up again to see who might be available to do that. There'll be a fire truck available for us. I'm not sure which one or where on the truck we'll be riding, but we'll have our banner. They'll know it's us. So how many of you are available for the Grover Parade?
I will be available for the Grover Parade, but I'm not in town for the Christmas parade that we have this year. I've got to be in Los Angeles.
Joe.
I know. I'm traveling far more than I want.
Well, okay. My two boys will add up to you, so I'll have them wear a Joe Costello mask. Or
okay.
Something.
Very good.
Well, see if we can borrow some of his ties,
okay.
Too. Okay. All right. So, good. We'll have a full turnout then for the Grover Parade. And
do we have a time on that? We had a date before, but not a time.
It's actually a morning parade. I think it starts around 9:30 or so. We're usually out there at the assembly area. It's on West Grand Avenue. I think the last time was right where...